Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 28th. The time is 10 a.m. Pacific. Like you'll really care when you listen to the archives. But we are here. This is just to show you we're always here. We're prompt. We're punctual. And we're here to entertain
That's
you.
That's very true. We're like, right? We're like the Germans.
Yes.
Very punctual people.
And very humble servants of you people.
Yes.
To entertain you. We're the clowns. We're the jester. We're the entertainers. So I never thought I would be one, you know, although I always wanted to be one.
Wait, weren't you the class clown? You said you were the class clown.
Not the clown, but I did do like sketches and things like
that.
I wasn't really a comedian per se, but I like recited like sketches and things like that.
Yeah, you had an entertaining bug.
I always have, really, and playing the guitar, singing, and I always like that attention.
Yeah.
like someone I know.
Camera whore.
But don't we all love attention? I mean, all you have to do is look on Facebook and Instagram and see all these self-loving people.
That we are talking to. My mom doesn't like to be in front of a stage.
No, not at all.
So some people don't want it at all.
No, not. But I wonder if she wouldn't want some fame or something.
No. She doesn't want
it. She's a very private person.
Yeah, not really. Yeah, she just doesn't. I mean, she likes to be the center of attention at a party.
Right.
But she has no interest in, she doesn't like when people Facebook friend her because she thinks they can like see in her house.
Right.
She's like, are they looking? I'm like, no, they can't see you.
Yeah, the only friend people you know.
Yeah, that's she thinks it's a bit scary and overwhelming, the whole social media.
Well, it is.
It is.
Ways,
it's totally
right?
creepy. Yeah, no,
yeah,
totally.
She gets it.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I can't get over this. It's like, and then I'm not going to name names, okay? But like, these women are like, they're attractive. They're in bikinis. They're like flaunting their boobs and asses and everything. And then they start not tweeting, but posting about how guys don't leave them alone and all this, and they want to block him and all this. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this is what you're selling. You're selling sex and your body, you know, your image. I mean, it's not like they're trying. Look, I know many women, and they post a lot of cool things. They even post pictures about themselves, but they're not selling themselves a sex object.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only posting stuff of you in a bikini, I don't know. I don't want to hang out with you.
I'm telling you, that's all they do.
So don't
you know?
Go for those girls.
Wonder, yeah.
Don't go for those girls.
Exactly. But then women. I get really irritated when they post about guys and they put the guys down and stuff. It's like, what do you expect? You know, you're inviting this.
True.
Who are you dressing like this for, you know?
True, but they're going to eat it in the end. You don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, that's true,
karma.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wait till you hit 50, God damn it. Then we'll see. We'll see how many suitors you're going to have then.
50's the new 40 and 40's the new 30.
Bullshit.
I know. It's all bullshit.
Yeah, you try to be in your 50s and see.
You look great for 50.
Well, thank you,
you're
but
welcome.
I'm still middle-aged, you know?
Don't say that. It sounds like you're in a
right?
Lord of the Rings novel.
Doesn't it sound
middle-aged.
Like it? But people look at it like that.
No, it's true, and it's like ageism. But you're also in the height of freaking L.A., where if you're past 21 and you're like, get out of here, granny.
That's true,
you
right?
know, it's just like,
yeah,
I don't think that's the same in Idaho, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, 50s, middle-aged. I don't think you would feel as... It's here that feels particularly
right,
bad.
Right,
right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no place like L.A.
Oh,
to make you feel like shit about
really
yourself.
Really,
you know?
Terrible place. No, I'm it really, it's a great place with a lot of stuff to do, and I find really cool people here. But there is a gloss of superficiality that is, if you just find it bullshit, that's great, but it's not easy. You know what I mean?
No, it is. So, but if you can navigate the waters, then you find cool people.
Yeah, no, you
can. But you're right. I mean, as in general, as a city, it is like that.
Yeah, but it also means it's fashion forward and it's really got its hand on the pulse of what's new, but it is a little judgy.
Yeah.
It's like your judgy friend.
Exactly. You know, you move here and you're not like a movie star. You're going to feel even nothing. Worse about yourself.
you're a nobody. The worst is when you always go to a, like kind of a sceney bar and everyone looks up and then looks down. Oh, no. Nobody. It's
a
nobody. It's a nobody. Just to make you feel really good.
Well, at least they're looking.
Well, you walk in, there's movement,
yeah,
and then it's back down.
I know. So many people are so self-involved, they don't even see you coming
around. No, I did a stand-up at the Viper Room on Sunset, and someone was doing Snapchatting behind me as I'm on stage, and they're, like, doing selfies and stuff. So I just was like, oh, my God, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm burning. Kept going. I'm like, children are screaming. Everyone's on flames. Get out. Everyone's laughing, and they have no idea.
No idea what's going on.
And I was trying to see if they would hear me, but even a fire alarm didn't alarm them. They were like smooching, duck lips, whatever. But I got a good laugh, so it was fine. God,
I know. The social media makes me crazy, you know, because it's like, who was telling me this? They said, when you take a selfie, the camera's pointing at you. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
That was you,
everything
right?
is internally focused.
Right.
It's always at us. It's never at the world.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, it's like all the attention is on us. And it's like, only a few years ago, people would have called you an extreme narcissist, an idiot, conceited, self-involved, whatever. And now it's okay.
Yeah.
It's accepted, you know?
No, and that's just the changing of the style. I think people are becoming more solidarity. You know, solitary. I think people, more machines are being evolved. I think it's like you don't have to speak to someone all day long if you don't want to.
Yeah. So no, that's true. But I think what this has done is it made people feel they can become stars and celebrities, at least in their own mind.
And they
can,
like YouTube stars and like Instagram stars.
But how many of those
are
there?
True. But yeah,
right?
You think there's, right. It's that's true.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm telling you again, all these chicks that flaunt everything, they just want the likes, you know? I mean, you can see. Half a boob is showing.
Half a boob is like 50 likes.
Yeah,
a full
boob
is like 100 likes.
Right.
Lord.
So, yeah, but it happens. It happens. And sometimes I wonder why I follow these people. But
yeah, Tate, what are you doing?
I'm just fascinated by this stuff. I really want to know what's going on.
But at the same time, if it makes you like annoyed, imagine that annoying part of you away for the day. Like,
yeah,
you didn't
have
to see it.
Yeah, no, I know. And sometimes I do. But mostly now I just laugh about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great commentary about society and so forth. You know? But
definitely.
Yeah, what do I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're expecting a guest to call in a few minutes. Whether it will happen or not is sort of up in the air. But
she's a motivational speaker.
Yeah, well, let's not give it away yet.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean,
I want her to. I'm obsessed. I love motivational speakers.
Yeah, I didn't get a confirmation, and this was a rescheduled interview. So we hope she'll call in. If not, we'll reschedule yet once again. We're forgiving people.
Mm-hmm.
We give chances to people. So that's who we are, folks. Some stuff happening in the news. I think we should lead with Shimon Peres's passing.
May he rest.
Those who don't know, who've lived under a rock or don't care about international stuff, Shimon Peres was Israel's... he was a leader, apparently, in politics for 50 years. I thought it was even longer than that.
He was sort of the founder.
How can it be
business?
50 years? I don't understand.
Well, Israel isn't because
he was
long.
93... But he started at the beginning, you know. I mean, I don't understand why. I guess he battled for the leadership in 1980 and so forth and didn't win. Many times he did not win, you know.
But he did win the Nobel Prize in 94.
And he's won other positions in the government.
Yeah.
But until finally... He was elected as prime minister as well. He was, I think, if I remember, he was sharing that with Rabin, was it, or something? Or with
I don't know the answer to that.
Netanyahu. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on. I haven't been involved in Israeli politics in so many years, you know. But nevertheless, a leader helped shape the Middle East. Born 1923. Wow. That's a long time. Can you imagine how much the world has changed in 93 years?
Wow. Two world wars.
I mean, I'm just thinking of how much my world has changed in 56 years. Mm-hmm. Imagine 95, mm-hmm. 93, whatever. But the stuff he's been through and the stuff he's done is just amazing to me. I think our guest is calling in a little bit early.
Whoa.
But let's go ahead and
she's
take
motivated.
That. Because, yes, because we are getting the call. And are we talking to Divya?
That's correct. I'm Divya.
Yay!
Yes. Good morning, Divya.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Divya Parekh, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
That's correct.
Okay, Divya awesome. Parekh. What's that?
You can say Parekh.
Oh, Parekh. Okay, well, I'll say it the way you want. That's why I'm asking. Where are you
I'm assuming you're Sam, right?
Yes, I'm Sam, and Tori is here with me. And we're eager to talk to you. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from North Carolina.
Wow.
Wow, North Carolina. Wow. And what city there in North Carolina, if you don't mind me
asking? I don't know. Raleigh-Durham.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice. So,
a lot happened in North Carolina.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, a lot of protests.
Lately. Yeah, I know. A lot of filming going on there now, I understand, right?
Yeah,
Hollywood moved a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, but that's like the seat of it right now, North Carolina.
Yeah. Oof. How did you end up there, Divya? Is that where you grew up?
No, I moved from California to North Carolina.
Oh, from California. Oh, okay. So you know what our weather is like, right?
Oh, weather is beautiful. We get to see all the four seasons.
Right.
Like, I used to be in Southern California around Brea.
Oh, okay. And as you probably remember, the weather is the same here every day. 360
yes.
days a year.
Yeah. I definitely remember it.
Yeah. It's just hot and dry, but beautiful nevertheless. Mm-hmm. So, Divya Parekh, calling from North Carolina, you're a coach, a speaker, a motivator. Tell us a little bit more about what it is that you do.
So have we started the show?
I'm sorry?
Have we started the show? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, you're on the air.
Oh.
You didn't realize that, huh?
Oh, okay, no, no, that's cool. So.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Your people are listening to you now, so we can get started. Go ahead. So tell us what it is that you do.
Absolutely. So tell them a little bit about myself. So I have a very varied background. I started out in science being curious about how things happen and how problems can be resolved. And of course, with science, you're always looking for problem solving, coming up with different solutions to things that are not in existence yet. And from science, I moved into the teaching world of University of Associate Professorship. From there, I ended up in, again, as a scientist in different areas. And from there, I migrated to pharmaceuticals. And in pharmaceuticals, the main attraction was hoping that I would be part of something big, where I would be part of, like, creating a research medication that would alter people's lives for the better. And I can say that I was not involved in research. However, as I led multi-million-dollar projects, I was very fortunate to bring quite a few life-changing medications to the market. And then in 2008, what happened was when the economy took a downturn, a lot of my friends were just walked off from the corporate world at a moment's notice, and I just did not like being in that seat where here were friends for whom my heart bled. Uh-huh. And at the same time, here I was hoping that, you know, my job would remain secure.
Right. So you had an early interest in science and so forth. And so how did that evolve into your coaching and speaking?
Basically, that was the day when I had my tipping point, and what happened was a lot of reflection, a lot of soul searching, and during that time, being of science background, and also having the knowledge of meditation, where I was very fortunate to have been meditating for several years, I went through really a lot of soul searching. And as I went through the process, I started looking at my skills, that what skills I could bring from the corporate world to my next career. And then as I was looking into it, I wanted to do something that would be tangible. Yes, making life-changing medications is amazing, yet you do not see the customer throughout. You're involved in the process. You know you're part of something big. I wanted to do something where I saw tangible results. Mm-hmm. And as I looked through my life, I saw that the common thread was people, that I wanted to connect with people. I wanted to add value and create a positive impact. So coaching was the answer.
There you go. So, well, I think that qualifies you with all that corporate experience you've gained over the years and so forth. So, so you have a website. Do you want to give it out so people can find out more about what it is that you do?
Absolutely. My website is www.diviaparekh.com. And it is spelled out as D as in David, I, V as in Victor, Y, A, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, R as in Robert, E as in Edward, K as in Kevin, H as in Harry.
DiviaParekh.com.
All right.
.com. There you go. And so give us a couple of, like, you know, like highlights as far as to, I mean, you discuss things like purpose and passion, leadership and influence, mindfulness, mindset. I mean, there's a lot of things here that you cover. Do you give like personal coaching one-on-one, or is it more like a corporate thing with groups?
So basically what has happened is that as I did my certification in coaching and as I went through coaching people across 60 countries, I was very fortunate to be in that position where I could do that. What I've found is that I've become an entrepreneur, because as a coach, you are an entrepreneur. And regardless whether you're in personal life or whether in corporate world, if you have the entrepreneurial thinking, the life changes. Because as an entrepreneur, you are able to manage risks really well. So what I've done is I work with entrepreneurs, I work with professionals, individually, group coaching, as well as in the corporate too.
Sounds good.
Wow.
Okay, so check out the website. There's a lot more about your, you have coaching workshops, I see. And tell us a little bit about those.
Definitely. So the coaching workshops, and as you mentioned, what I offer, my whole main thing starts out with purpose. It's, why is it that you exist? What is your big why? What is it that makes you get up first thing in the morning and fuels your day? What's your passion that you're going for, that you're just not passing through life, that you're living your life? It's something that you want to bring out, that it's not only impacting your life, but you're impacting the people around you. Mm. Because there are studies after studies that show that happy people will impact others. Mm. Happiness is contagious. So that said, so it starts out with purpose of life, and it continues with bringing the mindfulness, which mindfulness in my definition is, it's a way of life where you make a conscious decision to make a choice of bringing non-judgment and having the Jedi-like focus and concentration on the moment. And when you have that Jedi-like concentration, your performance goes up, your productivity goes up. And if your performance and productivity goes up, then your profits go up. So everything is tied together, your passion, performance, and your profits. All three of them are connected. And what my workshops do is, depending on the need of the person or an organization or the entrepreneurs, I have a new book coming out, which is called The Entrepreneur's Garden, which addresses 9 relationships to be successful, whether you're an individual, you're an entrepreneur, or whether you're a corporation. Mm-hmm. And based on their need, I will do the workshop for them after the assessment. Mm. So it sounds where they are right now.
It sounds
where they want to be.
It sounds a lot like Buddhism mixed with Jedi, right? It's like yeah, it's kind of like be as if disciplined as you can to be in the present. Which is what I'm studying Buddhism, so that's what I'm trying to do every day, which is not easy.
Wow.
Not easy.
It is not. It's an ever-going journey. And the beauty of that is that you said it. I love what you said, Buddhism mixed with Jedi.
Yeah.
Along with scientific, evidence-based coaching, mm-hmm. because to me, data speaks for itself, and all my coaching is based on science research.
That's
so it's a very eclectic mix of three things coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have the sort of a lot of people who aren't introspective see it as all hippy dippy, but then you have the scientific background to back you up. So it's very credible. So it's like the best of both worlds. So that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Divya Parekh, if everybody go to her website and check it out, we'll have the spelling on our website as well where the show is archived. So you guys will be able to find it easily. And find out about her services, everything. Divya, thank you so much for calling us this morning. Very enlightening
stuff. Very interesting.
And I encourage everybody to check out your things and see. And your book is coming out when, you said?
My book launches on November 3rd.
Ooh, good luck.
Oh, wow.
Exciting.
Very cool. Right before the elections, too. Awesome. Divya, thank you again so much and all the best to you.
Oh, thank you, Tori. Thank you, Sam.
Absolutely.
It was an honor to be on your show.
Thank
Greatly
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Wow.
Yeah. People, Jeez. You know, people devote their lives to helping other
well,
people.
Well, when I study Buddhism and Pema Chodron, she had a very, like, calm way of speaking, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what's that? I'm a shark.
Yeah,
I'm, like, from the 1940s. Like, Seabiscuit's coming around the corner. And I was listening to Pema, who's my teacher, and she was saying her teacher, something Rinpoche, I can't say it, said, even in speech, you want to be meditative. So if you are in the present moment, even your speech is like focus. And I'm like, hurry, I got things to do. I got to go. So I like that, like her speech was even calm.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Wow. I know. But yeah, so there's always somebody to learn from, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool stuff, so I'm glad it happened.
And I like she said, you have to find the why in your life. What is the big thing that makes
you
tick?
Yeah, the purpose.
Yeah,
you know?
The purpose, exactly.
And that's the thing. They always tell you that in all the self-help books
right.
and religious books mm-hmm. and stuff. It's find out who you are, mm-hmm. what you are, you
What
know?
Makes you really turned on.
Exactly,
yeah.
you know, and... Yeah, even if you can admit it to the world or not.
Yeah,
you know?
If it's a fetish, keep it to yourself. If it's one of those furry fetishes, I don't want to know. But good for you. Continue.
Yeah, there you go,
I mean?
Yeah.
But seriously, I think that's a really important thing is find what makes you turned on. It's not complicated.
No.
And then focus on that. But it is very risky.
And
it takes bravery.
It does. Because, you know, you also have to get a little spiritual about that. You know? Because you can't just say, oh, I'm here to make money and stuff. Because
Unless if that's not, your thing, that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you know. But somehow I feel there's more like, there's more, I'm getting
Substance.
Distracted here. Yeah, I don't know why she's calling back, but at any rate, you know, so people have to think, you know, spiritually, why am I here? You know, why was this world created? What is my part in
mm-hmm,
all this?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
how do I contribute to all this?
And I think the only way you can find that, because that sounds like the biggest question in the whole wide world, is to be in the present.
Yeah.
And that's so hard for our generation because it's like, I don't think I can stop scrolling for a hot second, like on my phone.
Yeah,
so
right.
the idea of like doing nothing is very hard.
I know.
Very difficult. So I started with like brushing my teeth because it's something you do every day and you can zone out, right?
Right.
But now I'm like, okay, stay in the present. I'm brushing this tooth. I'm brushing these teeth. This is how the water feels. This is how the toothpaste feels. And it's like a good daily practice to stay
true.
Very present because you do it every day, hopefully.
Yeah.
But you focus on the present and you don't zone out. You
right.
just stay in the moment.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for me, it's like even 5 minutes, I can't sit there without doing something.
2 minutes. I can't
gotta
even
read.
Do 30 seconds.
Yeah,
so yeah I
know.
Dreadful. So meditation, even in little bits, makes you a spiritual warrior.
Yeah.
Even if you meditate for 30 seconds in the car, you're that much better off that day. Do you know what I mean?
I'll have to try that.
You should.
Let's see. So you're studying Buddhism?
I am.
Really?
I've been studying it for about 4 years. I'm Jewish, but I'm like a Jubu.
Uh-huh.
I'm
Jubu.
A Jubu.
Okay.
I just think it's the most helpful for me in terms of my anxiety and yeah, my mind. I have a really busy mind, and it's very helpful for me to relax a little bit and to also, I think, find the purpose of life. It's to slow down for me, and to this has really helped me find joy in slowing down. And before, it was sort of like a punishment.
That's true.
So it's been really helpful.
It's sort of like you're constantly running, but you don't know from what or something.
Totally.
Right?
And this was like when someone would make you walk, like a teacher being like, don't run. You'd be like, oh, I just want to run. But this has been very like joyful to learn about it. So her name's Pema Chodron, you guys. She writes books and all this stuff, and she's an American. So she's very funny and like witty, very small books, so they're not long. But she's very funny, and she's a Tibetan monk, and she's hilarious. Oh, yeah. She's a nun.
Huh.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to learn from her.
Oh, yeah. And she's very much like, she gets the Western part of it. She's like, you're sitting in traffic and someone has cut you off. Yeah, you want to like hurt this
but
person.
But how can they know about this life when they live in Tibet?
So she grew up in Massachusetts.
Convent.
And all her life was just a normal person. And then her husband said that he was cheating on her. And she threw a rock at his head and then became a Tibetan nun for the next 35
I see.
Years.
Okay, so she became that after.
Correct. So she has this background of like, you know, New England and traffic and TV and all this stuff. But she also, and so she teaches, she's the Dalai Lama's liaison to the West because she knows the West so well.
Yeah.
So he was.
What an extreme! Just because your husband cheated on you, I mean, that's a pretty extreme.
I think she probably should have been a nun her whole life. Yeah, it just was the catalyst. It helped her make that decision. She was always interested, but she's very funny, and she's like this little 80-year-old, and she's a little shaved head, and she's very cute.
Wow.
She wears the robes and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting people.
She was on Oprah. I mean, she's a big deal. She's a
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oprah loves her.
So what, I mean, have you learned anything interesting from there, like life-changing for you?
Yeah, I learned one trick that, it's not a trick. It's not like I'm trying to like make this, like evade
like
someone. Yeah, I mean, it's not magic. This is something that's very helpful. It's the difference between something called water logic and rock logic. And she explains it like this. Everybody in America, especially Western people in America, in the Western Hemisphere, like things to be on rock right angles. So I'm going to make this career, I'm going to go this education, then I'm going to go in this way, then I'm going to get married, then I'm going to have kids. And it's like left, right, left, and it's perfectly cemented. And the problem is that she says that life is like absolutely 100% never going to be like that. So if you change your mind from rock logic to water logic, and what does water do? It goes up, it goes down, it changes, it dries up, it comes back. It's more of a go with the flow. Your life will be a lot less in suffering if you can focus on water logic instead of the rock logic. It has to be like
makes
this.
Makes sense.
Has to, yeah.
Makes sense.
It's not hard to do. It's hard to think about, but it makes the day and the stress and anxiety a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, and if that works for you, that's
great.
Yeah,
that's groovy.
You know,
that's
a natural
groovy.
Way of doing
totally.
This, you know?
If you, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to calm you down, because my mind is like yours. It's always racing.
Monkey mind.
Yeah, I always have to do something, you know, but with me, I discovered weed early on.
That also
can help.
And
that was my
help.
Buddhism. But it made me get into all kinds of interesting
That's
things.
That's exactly
like the
right.
meaning of life.
That's
and,
right.
And purpose and stuff. So it's answered a lot of questions for me.
Well,
but
they say like at the end of life in terminal cancer patients, they're taking LSD and acid, and it's finding they find very profound moments of life for them. They're having studies that it can really help with depression if you're in a terminal illness. So I'm not against drugs helping you out too. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, if you do it safely, but I'm just saying, it's a difference. It's a different mind change is what happens.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, I mean,
weed or Buddhism.
But eventually, I think everybody realizes that they have to go back and to the beginning and figure out who they are, why they're here, and so forth. Because life will slap you in the face at any point you think you're bigger than life, you know? Life will put you right in your place, you know? And it's happened to everybody I know. That you hit bottom.
It's very true. And I think instead of thinking of it like in a Western bottom, like the rock, you hit the bottom, it's just that you've just flowed in a different direction.
Right.
So that's the difference between water logic and rock logic.
Right.
Things are much more flexible and fluid than, like, I know Americans like to think this is it and that this is it, but it's much more fluid than that.
That's true.
So
that
it's
makes
it's
sense.
Much it's but it's not easy to think that way.
Right.
No.
You know, but what's interesting is how universal it is, that need to believe in something, mm-hmm. to find out mm-hmm. your meaning,
the purpose,
and your purpose,
yeah,
right?
The searching, even as Neanderthals and like even as like Homo sapiens searching for something, or you know, following the stars. I mean, we've always been that type of human beings, always
so
been that
way.
Yeah,
it's in our DNA, I guess, to look for that. And that's why people, I think, have to look beyond just the biology and the physical things, because mm-hmm. we're more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're more than just the science that we can see mm-hmm. and we can quantify. Because there's got to be a soul, you know. There's got to be something that makes a difference between a dead person and a live person, mm-hmm. you know. Because mm-hmm. the body's there still, mm-hmm. but what's missing, you know?
And I watch a lot of those Hollywood medium shows, so they have to be real.
Right.
In the afterlife. Long Island medium. No, I do. I believe that. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
Right.
But I do hope. I do hope there's something else
right.
out there.
And that's pretty much, I think, the universal thing, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to believe we just become warm food or something,
no,
you know, in the earth.
No,
we don't believe.
I want a harp and a cloud uh-huh. and a halo.
Your own cloud.
I want the white toga thing and wings.
Right.
That's so Jewish, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. I want a whole angel getup.
Yeah, right?
I want rainbows and unicorns, baby.
Yeah.
Bubbles.
It's like, I like the movies that sort of like envision what happens after.
Ugh.
Like Ghost, for example. Have you ever seen Defending Your Life?
I was just about to tell you, the Albert Brooks.
Yeah, that's like, it's the most iconic movie after you die, what happens.
Yeah,
you know?
And in that one, they go to purgatory until you have to go on trial for your life. And if you pass, you get to go on to heaven. If you don't, you go back to earth as something else.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of anxiety.
But purgatory and hell and stuff, they don't say, not hell, but you call it purgatory. I never looked at it that way, because purgatory is supposed to be like a terrible place to be, right?
Yeah, it's just, I meant like a holding place. A holding place.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
A holding place,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you sit and people judge you,
yeah.
you know?
It's like L.A.
For your life. And you have to defend yourself like in court and stuff, you know?
It's a very funny movie.
Yeah, so Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. very funny movie, indeed.
And they go to the Past Lives Pavilion, where you can put your hand on a sensor and it tells you your five past lives. Have you seen, remember that part? And Meryl Streep's so lucky. She gets like Prince Valiant, and he's like a worm or something.
Yeah. Did you notice people always in past lives think they were like someone big, you know?
It's always, it's never just like a raindrop or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Yeah. I was never like, I was Cleopatra, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No way. I was just a peasant.
Yeah. I was I was a feudal nothing. That's so true.
So that's why it's funny to think about these things. You know, people always look for meaning in many, in different places, mm-hmm. you know, and you find it everywhere, I guess.
And even if you go to see, like, I know people that go to see mediums and what do you call psychics and clairvoyance. And even if it isn't real, which I totally hope it is, it's helpful and can be guiding and can be comforting and useful.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. I mean, we have a couple of psychics and stuff on the station, and people love that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, people listen to it all the
time. We're always curious.
Yeah, I guess we are, but I actually don't believe that there's people that have like superpowers.
Well, you know? Superpowers, that'd be great.
That's what this seems to be. Hey, you know, because what they say is, hey, I can connect with spirits and you can't.
I think some people can probably hear better than you, and there's skills everyone has. Maybe they're just more intuitive. But I agree. I am very skeptical.
But what does that mean, intuitive? You know, I don't know.
But some people, you know, Usain Bolt can run faster than anyone. Maybe this person can, like, connect more than other people.
Right.
Maybe it's a skill.
But connect to what? That's
well,
what I'm
you
saying.
Won't
there's
know
no
what
evidence.
That guy will. I like my,
no
I like my
evidence.
Medium shows, all right?
Okay.
Leave me alone.
I
want to believe.
I won't puncture your bubble.
Yeah,
there.
Please
there
don't.
You go.
I like those shows. So embarrassing.
But in general, are you a skeptic or?
No, I'm pretty gullible.
You're gullible.
And, I mean, I can sniff out bullshit,
right.
But I do want to believe. In when I see some really good proof on TV, whatever, that sounds so stupid. But when I see something from my own, I don't know. I'm more open to believing. Is what I'll
right.
say. I'll stop there.
But that's good. I mean, it keeps an open mind, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't write things off. You're like keeping the possibility.
Yeah,
open.
I'm a hopeful optimist, which is either naive and stupid or both and happy. You know,
yeah,
I don't
right.
know. I'm very optimistic.
Yeah.
I think you have to be if you come out to LA and be like, I'm gonna make it. That's so, I
you
mean,
have to.
You yeah. got to be an optimist.
Yeah, you've got to. I
you
mean, otherwise
to.
This town will eat you alive.
Oh, 100%.
Eat you up alive, you know?
Woo.
Yeah. So I guess Madonna and Katy Perry get naked for voting.
Whoa, segue from
yes,
nowhere.
There you go.
What?
Well, because I'm going into the headlines.
All right,
stuff.
Tell me what's
I guess
happening.
Madonna tweeted an apparent nude photo of herself declaring her support for Hillary Clinton. So they have a picture of Madonna here with her boobs, but it's cut off. You can't really see the boobs or anything. But you can see she's just nude, you know, upper body.
And this was in what was this in
On Twitter.
Okay, she was just in favor of Hillary and wanted to be naked.
Yeah,
about it?
And
okay.
Nude voting. Yeah, so okay. Nude voting series number one is how she tagged this. So.
Okay. Always the wrote, provocative vixen, Miss Madonna.
Yeah, you know, she says, I'm voting naked with Katy Perry. Vote for Hillary. She's the best we got. Nude voting series number one.
I don't get the nude thing, but I mean,
yeah,
that's great.
Well, it gets attention.
It
and
sure
that's
does.
Madonna for you.
Sure
but
does.
The amazing thing in the pictures, I realized she's actually got sequins or diamonds on her front teeth. Did you know that?
Yeah, she's got like diamonds everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. She sometimes has grills put in. I mean, she does.
It's
she
amazing.
Works with her teeth.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. It might be,
but her
you know,
two front teeth have diamonds in them.
Yeah. Well, that might be taken outable. They might
probably,
be detachable.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen her with grills and stuff like
I
that.
I like that, taken outable. That's a great word for Words with Friends. I wonder if it would work.
Taken outable.
Yeah.
No, I went to go see Madonna. Her body's incredible. She does
really?
Yoga. Right. Like, she does hardcore exercise. She's got a great body.
Right?
Very,
and,
very strong.
And she's what, 50 something?
Yeah, she's
probably,
got a great
right?
body.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the nude thing. Okay, why not?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Katy Perry.
What the hell?
Whatever.
Yeah, I just want to see if somebody did that for Trump.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There'd be like a big, big thing about it, you know, because he's dug himself into that friggin' hole with women. You
yeah.
know?
What's interesting is they said the people he needed to reach were suburban women, right? Like Philadelphia suburban women. They haven't decided yet, and they can, on the swing vote, they can change it.
Yeah.
And they did a poll of the suburban Philadelphia women, and they were like, oh, he was just awful. He was terrible. It was just, he was really irritating, and she did it correctly about, she didn't give in, but she baited and baited, and he took it.
Yeah, right.
So they were like, oh, no. So it wasn't a good debate for him, but they said he will be at the second, and he plans on being much harsher, which will be what his advisors are asking him is to be more prepared.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will
if he
be,
can,
if he can, but I think the preparation was so obvious that when you talk Rosie O'Donnell instead of like a foreign policy plan,
right.
something might be up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. and he's dealing with former Miss Universes. And
yeah, this is his way.
Like, who
right?
cares?
But she's
know?
Doing a great job on filling. He looks like he has no credibility.
Yeah,
she
I know.
Did a great job.
Yeah, I guess. Everybody. I mean, look, when so many people hate the
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something wrong.
Something's going on, you know?
Five living presidents are like, don't. Oh, and then you see Arizona Republic. For 126 yes. years, they've endorsed Republicans. Never. And they endorsed Hillary yesterday. Big news. And they called Trump, calling him, he has a stunning lack of human decency, which
Whoa.
Is like the lowest insult
right?
you could give someone.
Wow. I know, man. I'm actually thinking, you know. I'm thinking maybe four more years, even if it's four more years of Obama for me, then maybe it's worth waiting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just worth waiting. You know what it's like? I'm feeling like, let's say, a team that lost the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and there's nothing you can do other than hope for next year.
Right.
You know?
I think that's what a lot of people think about America. We're like, let's just, yeah.
Yeah, let's just put her there for 4 years. She's the lesser of two evils. At least we know what she can do. But we don't know what he can do. What
that's
he can
the problem.
Do.
She
might do.
To me, I think she's a great qualified campaigner, great would bank up great president. But for people that don't trust her, yeah, you at least can trust that she won't do something erratic like he would.
Yeah.
At least she's not crazy.
It's usually like scandals and shit like that. But at least she knows it.
Like
stuff,
if
right?
your difference is I'm she makes me a little she rubs me the wrong way as opposed to he could create nuclear war.
Right.
I feel like you should know who to
exactly
vote for.
Which is the list of two evils.
Yeah, you
here,
should
right?
kind of figure that out. But a lot of people did this thing where they muted the debate. It's in the New York Times. There's an article where you just watched because a lot of it is about the video of it.
The body language.
Yeah, and the split screen apparently was like, oh God, he was just dreadful.
Right? Yeah, so. I know. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's a little movement inside of me as far as to...
I think that's a little Tory coming.
Maybe. Because I can't, you know, just like so many people are saying who are conservatives, I can't possibly vote for someone like that.
Right.
I'm a sane person.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm a sane person. That's so sad that you have to defend yourself, you know? Saying you're sane.
Yeah,
no,
you know?
I agree.
But, yeah, so if we sort of just accept we're going to get another 4 years of Democrats, and hopefully we'll be able to come up with someone in 2020, I guess.
Let's try and get some Jeb back.
We're still
or
around, yeah. For crying out loud.
I know.
People are dropping out right and left, you know.
Yeah. 2016's been a really harsh year.
Yeah, right?
For death. Yeah, really bad. Yeah.
I mean, people I know even and shit like that, you know. I mean,
it's been a rough year, but optimistic over here.
Yeah, right.
It's going to get better.
Exactly. I never look at it as like a bad year or a good year. It's just, I mean, there's always shit and there's always good things.
Yeah, this was just a bad year for like celebrity musician deaths. It was like
That's true, right?
But no, it's never a bad year or a good year. It was just a lot of talented people passed this
year.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Huh. Well, I guess it's because yeah, people from the 70s, 60s,
like
70s.
Like Glenn Frey, Bowie, Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all 70s people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? I mean,
you're still here.
I just as soon wish people to die quickly rather than slowly.
Yes.
You know, I think that would be the worst curse, is to get really old and be sick and suffer and shit like that.
Yeah. You know?
Who needs that?
That's why
So stay active, you know. You got to stay active.
Stay moving, people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like seeing my mom pretty much decided to plant her legs in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. And that's it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4 or 5 months after her hip surgery and she can't even stand up.
Really?
That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Is she
that's
not
bullshit.
Wanting to? Or
I think you have to conclude that she doesn't want to.
Yeah, she's not motivated to do
not
it.
Motivated.
No.
Not motivated to stand and walk.
And I can understand that my grandparents would be very sad and depressed. My mother is just a pushy Jew.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, get up. And then we'd walk to the elevators and we'd walk back. And you have to be a bit pushy, but it is hard because there is no hope. I mean, they feel hopeless.
Yeah,
so
they really do, and it's hard to judge a person in that position.
Yeah, because you're not in that shoe. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But it just it's evident that it sucks.
Yeah, yeah,
that's for sure.
the answer to that is it sucks.
It
exactly
sucks.
Right.
There you
it's
go.
Exactly right. But the good thing is you have family taking care of you, which is lovely.
Yeah,
that's good.
Exactly. You know, and yeah. That's why you should have kids, so somebody will take care of you when you're older. I'm telling you. And hope that they will.
Yeah, pray that they will.
With my kids, I'm not so sure.
Please.
God damn it, man. All I've ever given them is love and attention.
Well, maybe they will.
Maybe they will.
Come on.
But, you know, like with my son, you know, he found a new girlfriend, no time for me. Now she broke up with him, no time for me. So it's like there's never a time.
But have you ever gone up to him and been like, this really hurts my heart?
Yeah.
And what does he say?
Nothing.
Okay, so that's cold. That's pretty cold, to be honest.
He is pretty cold. Yeah. He has been cold lately. I don't know what the hell's going on. I think it's the distance that does
that.
Yeah,
it can be hard. I mean,
with
my
daughter,
on the East
closer
Coast.
Now. And it's funny because it varied over
changes.
The years.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, my parents are on the East Coast and my sister's on the East Coast. So they are very close and becoming closer. And I mean, I'm best friends with my parents. But I mean, I go for days without talking to them. And it does create a distance.
It does, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you're not face-to-face. And then I'm not, you know, I don't love FaceTime. It feels weird to me. Some people like FaceTime. I can't FaceTime.
I know, it sucks.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm always looking at how I look. I'm like, is that a triple chin?
Yeah, and besides, you just look terrible. I mean,
always look terrible.
Selfies, I think selfies distort the face, you know.
Well, you have to do it from the correct angle. It's going to be a way up high look, like you're looking.
Right,
Kim Kardashian
exactly.
does it very well.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. She also has like...
Yeah, some people are experienced with that kind
so
of
sad,
stuff.
So sad. Well, did you hear in Colombia, the FARCs, they've been fighting the rebels, the rebels against the government for 52 years. They made a peace truce yesterday.
52 years?
52 years. And they're giving their guns to the United Nations.
Wow.
And in response, they're getting a lot more immunity, and the charges are going to be lessened on a lot of what they did.
But these like drug lords?
These are
stuff?
The drug lords.
Really?
This is the FARC. So the major people, the rebels in the jungle. Their head of FARC came and wore a white outfit, and the president of Columbia wore a white outfit, and they met yesterday and shook hands.
Wow.
And
that's
52 years it's been in war. So a lot of people grew up without ever knowing peace. So they're giving guns away in terms for more like knowledge on farming, and it's exciting. It's
wow.
really crazy.
Very cool.
It's you don't you always hear about the bad things, but this is an amazing accomplishment.
It's been such a dangerous place to live for so many
yeah.
years.
Yeah, and this was yesterday's big handshake. So it was almost like the Netanyahu. I mean, this was like a big truce moment.
Yeah.
Wow. So very interesting. Hmm. So Colombia, good for you.
Yeah,
guys.
Colombia. There you go.
Yeah,
you know?
Good for you.
Yeah, I guess BlackBerry announced they'll stop making their own phones.
Oh.
I thought they already...
Yeah, I didn't know they did. It's like, I know, I'm like, T-Mobile's still a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
BlackBerry,
so,
huh?
And it's funny, though, how popular it was at the time.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what really created the email craze.
Oh, yeah.
That started.
Those keyboards, man.
Right, those yeah. keyboards and everything. And many people have not let them go.
I know.
Let go of them. But obviously, if you don't... if you don't keep up with the technology and the
you're gonna be lost
advancement, you're gonna be lost.
What are you doing?
Know? You stay behind.
Yeah,
you know, so you got to keep going forward. They try to come out with phones that are like touchscreen and everything, but they never really quite made it. Then they, I think now they have phones that mimic an iPhone
yeah.
and have the keyboard in
right, which
well.
Is nice. I do like the idea of a keyboard.
Right.
But I just, it's too clunky.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like and, chic.
And there's no apps for BlackBerry and none of that stuff. So they missed the boat.
Yeah, they sailed.
They missed the boat.
Sail away, sail
exactly.
away.
Try again.
Yeah, try again. But the Android right. thing's going strong. Samsung, though, a little worried. My friend just got the big one, and every day wakes up and says, please return this phone. It might explode in your pocket.
Wow.
Because of the fire hazard.
So the phone says
every morning.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, why aren't you taking it in?
Yeah,
like,
why did you buy the freaking thing?
So sad. Yeah, but no, it's caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, I know. It's reportedly a great phone, though. You
no,
know?
It looks
right?
sexy as hell.
Right.
But also,
the
explosion isn't
Jeez.
As sexy. Yeah.
A lot of things explode, man. Have you heard of those vapor pens that explode?
Oh, yeah.
Those batteries.
The more and more. It's always the batteries, face. Exactly. It's
yeah.
the batteries that explode. Good Lord. Careful with your dildo. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I don't think she is.
Yeah, is Mom listening today? I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah, who knows?
I can't tell. It's funny because I go directly to the computer. Is he listening? How the hell can
yeah,
I
Yeah, right.
Know?
It says Judy's
yeah.
listening.
Yeah. But I just, I wanted to bring this up here. I guess did you hear about this this teenager that tried to talk a toddler into smoking weed?
No.
A 17-year-old makes toddler smoke weed. And there's a video of it. So people in their stupidity, they do the stupidest illegal things. And they videotaped themselves.
Yeah.
Now,
so he was just on the street with a little
no,
kid?
No, not on the street. This is his grandmother. Oh, it's a 3-year-old that is in the teenager's grandmother's custody.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So the grandmother has this 3-year-old, and then her grandson is trying to talk
oh
him
my
to
God.
Smoking this
oh
joint.
Oh, my God.
And so he was charged with endangering the welfare
Good.
Of a minor. And I think he should... Yeah.
Well,
should have his balls burned or something.
It's a little harsh. I feel you. I like that.
A little harsh.
No, I feel we escalated pretty quickly right there.
Yeah.
But there has been evidence of lately, if you guys have watched, like, there's been a huge opiate problem in New Hampshire. And people, like, the cops are now taking video of, like, have you seen the one where there's a toddler in the car and the two parents are completely passed out?
Yes, yes.
So
I saw that.
But what it's doing is actually going viral and scaring enough people. It's actually working in terms of an anti-drug policy because you see
right.
the after effects. So there was one in, I think, a dollar store in Massachusetts, and she passed out, and her little 2-year-old's like pulling on her. And
wow.
they videotaped to show the actual effect of this. So you can crowdsource with social media for good.
Right.
But it's like, you can also do it for harm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the reason people videotape everything, I think, again, it's that narcissism. It's like having to document everything you do as though it's interesting to anybody.
But in Devil's Advocate, it's the body cameras that are picking up finally on the violence of police. So, like,
right.
it has its good. It really does.
No, but this was done inside a house and somebody, maybe a friend or something, was taking the
yeah,
video.
Yeah, well, that's despicable.
Or the guy that was doing that, handing him a joint. I mean, that's a 3-year-old
for crying
out loud, you know.
Well, the world's coming to shit.
It is, you know, and we're going to hell in a handbasket.
I always wonder, what is a handbasket?
I know. I often read, not often, sometimes I read books about the origin of words and ideas and things.
You want to know?
And that one I don't remember.
You want to know Bluetooth?
Yes.
So Bluetooth was a sort of a leader in Denmark and Norway and was given a name Bluetooth because he ate blueberries. And he was an old, in the medieval times, and he had blueberries always in his teeth. And he called him Bluetooth.
Oh,
and
wow.
The name Bluetooth, is he was a unifier of nations, so it unifies technology together.
Okay.
And the symbol of Bluetooth is his name in Celtic or Danish. It's his symbol.
Like a B.
Yeah,
it
that X
like
and H and the K put together like a B.
Right.
It's his initials.
Oh, wow.
That's how they... It was the ancient symbol of his name.
Very interesting. Okay, now
there
we
you
know
go.
What Bluetooth is about. Every time it connects to my car, I'll think of that.
That's right.
You're that guy with his blueberries in his
he
teeth.
Was the Grissom of Denmark and Norway. I was like, what's a Grissom? But yeah, isn't that neat? I think that's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, folks, another show in the can.
Yeah, yeah.
And how can we conclude this? We want to thank Divya Parekh for calling in and giving us some tips on how to find meaning in our lives.
Stay present, find your focus and your purpose.
There you go. I actually got a book called Bullseye, and it's about, he tells you got to have, in order to achieve what you want, you got to make your goals like the bullseye,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
focus.
Yeah, exactly. So focus is one of them. Clarity, focus, and persistence, I think. or preparation, whatever he said.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't prepared, yeah.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but it just
like
it takes
that,
a tremendous amount of discipline. If you want to make a goal, you got to focus on it like it is your prey and you're the predator.
Right.
And you grab it.
Yeah. I think actually the third one is practice, which makes sense.
Yeah,
you
that seems
you
good.
You got to keep practicing yeah, what you're doing, you know.
10,000 hours.
Yeah, there you go. So, at any rate, thank you all for listening. And thank you, Tori, as always.
Anytime.
And thanks, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.